The Mexico series starts tonight. Extensions on several players for the Cardinals. The winners and losers, first impressions on the team for different players. We'll talk about around baseball, NL Central analysis, what in the world on the defensive play by Marcell Ozuna, and the verdict on this team in baseball. This is the two-week analysis on the Four Seam Report. So, hey, everybody, welcome back. And this is the two-week analysis of the Cardinals. Just to kind of give you an update on where we're at, we are at the start of the Mexico series tonight in Monterrey, Mexico. And we've got a two-game series with the Reds. And Adam Wainwright is going to be starting tonight up against Tanner Roark. And that's going to be a really fun game. Baseball is going to be paying attention to it. A lot of work going on in the community over there as well. So this will be fun, and the Reds being 4-8 and possibly the worst team in the National League Central, this should be a series that we can pick up pretty easily. And so we'll be looking for the start of that here in about 30 minutes from the time that I'm doing this podcast. Since we last talked, there have been some big extensions happening to crucial players on this team, and we want to start with Miles Michaelis. I think he was the first one out of these. Great thing. I mean, they found a great player that's come back to the big leagues and is doing well. It's hard to find good starting pitching, especially on the free agent market right now. Unless you trade, you better keep the good ones you got. And so that's what they're doing here. Wainwright's going to be gone before long, possibly Waka. And so they're trying to solidify some pieces for the future. And then, obviously, the great big one is the Paul Goldschmidt extension. And this was just like immediate. It happened so fast. And, you know, kind of the expectation was that Paul and the Cardinals would kind of draw it out a little bit and they would court him through the season. And then at some point, hopefully, he would agree to an extension. But it was very quick, and he must have made it known that he loved playing for this team. I don't know what it is, but somehow the Cardinals had a read on what would happen here. They were so quickly jumping into the trade, and it was done so fast, and then now he's signed the extension so fast. This has all been orchestrated very accurately, and they've just done a great job by it. And so Paul's going to be wearing the birds on the bat for a good long while, and everybody's excited about that. Matt Carpenter, this was the one that was interesting to a lot of people because this guy's a perennial all-star. And he's getting older. That's the thing about him. So when you already have Paul Goldschmidt at first base, you have some star third base prospects that are coming up, namely Nolan Gorman, who is just hitting the cover off the ball lately in the minors. Why are you signing Matt Carpenter to an extension? And I'm going to tell you exactly why. It's because within the next year or two, there's going to be the implementation of the designated hitter in the National League. And it's going to be a perfect thing for Matt Carpenter because Matt Carpenter is not a pure defender. It's not his strong suit. And he does okay. It's enough. And he's played in different positions, but he's primarily a hitting specialist. And we all know he gets up to the plate and it'll be, you know, even if he doesn't get a hit or get on base, he sees at least six pitches almost every time, or at least five. And so sometimes far more than that, and the people that bat after him have seen every pitch that the guy's got already. And so he's just such an asset. He sets it up. He's such a great hitter. And he'll be able to be a DH. And just think about, you know, having Paul Goldschmidt, Matt Carpenter still in your lineup, and then you bring up a guy like a Nolan Gorman or somebody of that nature, you know, that can really hit. And it's just going to be something. It'll really be something. Why the extensions? Why is all this happening around baseball? You know, not just with the Cardinals. You know, there's tons of players around baseball that are signing these long extensions. What is it? It's the fact that the teams realize that they can get a good deal right now if they'll do it. And they have to be willing in the first place. But then the players also realize that when they try the free agent market, they are going to risk so much dollars instead of getting something done now. or maybe not even playing. We're looking right now at a day where Dallas Keuchel is still on the free agent market. Craig Kimbrell is still on the free agent market. It's incredible. And these are players that are really, really good. And so when a guy like Matt Carpenter understands the age that he's at and that he could be in decline over the next year or two, and he has the option to get an extension now instead of maybe not having a job later, yeah, he's going to sign it. And not only that, he's made it clear that he wants to be a Cardinal for life if it's at all possible. And so he's going to work with the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are happy to work with him and keep him in the birds on the bat. And so it works out great for the Cardinals, but it's a thing around baseball. And the Players Association is not cool with it. They're not happy because they want the players to get into free agency and get the big bucks. They want to see a huge signing happen and push that limit that's up there of how much you can earn as a player. And it's not happening, but they have to think about, am I going to try to be greedy and not have a job? Or am I going to settle and have a job and still get paid pretty good? What are you going to do? And so that's the whole idea behind the extensions right now. Now, we're going to get into first impressions, the winners and losers thus far. People that I'm impressed with, Paul Goldschmidt has come in and been the type of hitter that we all expected him to be. I mean, just power, power, power. That first week, it was like Paul Goldschmidt has come onto the scene. He leads the team in home runs and RBIs. He's got 6 home runs, 10 RBIs. This is what we paid for. Not only that, but people are walking him. He's got the most walks on the team. A little bit of concern, he's got the most strikeouts, but I mean, as long as he's producing, we'll be okay with that. He's a good hitter. And this is just wonderful. This is the shot in the arm the Cardinals needed. They needed that feared hitter that can be there. And it's great. And Schilt has put together a lineup that he's stuck with, that is working. It's working well. And so Paul Goldschmidt is all that we expected him to be. He's a winner. Colton Wong has absolutely impressed. Right now, he's batting 302, and he's got leading the team with 3 stolen bases. He's a defender extraordinaire. We already know that. I mean, he's just so impressive when he gets out there at second base. And he's just turned into an all-around player. He's been quite a spark plug. And you know what? I'm just going to put him alongside Harrison Bader. Those are 2 spark plugs for this team. They remind me of the David Eckstein type of guy who didn't just hit home runs like crazy, but he would spark this offense, and even in the defense, they're kind of the same sort of player. Not just the fact that they're short, but the fact that they're good hitters, they are really good defenders, and are just a great player to have on the team. And so, just very impressive out of both of them. They both have high potential, and we honestly, there's a lot of people that believe that Harrison Bader is the best center fielder in the majors. Definitely one of the best outfielders. And there was a play just recently where they tricked a guy and threw him out. I mean, and it was all because of Harrison Bader. And I'm like, man, that is something to have. Something to have. Another player that's impressed, but not shockingly, is Jack Flaherty. This is the type of guy that I believe MLB.com put him up there as one of their predictions for being in the Cy Young Award voting. He could do it. He could do it. This might be the year that he does it. He's that good of a pitcher, and he's impressed so far. He's been great. And I'll say Adam Wainwright, he's been kind of on and off. He's had a good day and a bad day, but tonight I think he's going to do well against a lowly Cincinnati team. And I'm glad that he's doing well when he was concerned about whether he was going to go on or not in his career. Jordan Hicks is clearly their choice right now for the closing pitcher, and he's done well in that. He's thus far, I mean, he had one blown save, and the bullpen hasn't been doing well, but when they've put him in here lately, he's been overpowering as he can be, and done really well. Now, I have one last winner that I want to talk about that's really a group, and that's the bench. The bench that the Cardinals have is absolutely amazing. I mean, it's they're so good. We're talking about Matt Wieters, who, I mean, he's a veteran. He's 32 years old. He can hit. He knows what he needs to do. We've got Jed Jerko. We now have Jairo Munoz, who joined the team today in Mexico. Tyler O'Neill and Jose Ramirez. Those are some good hitters, guys. I mean, you could put any one of those guys in and be confident you're going to have a chance, you know? And so I'm this bench, I'm telling you, and I'll talk about it here a little bit later, when we talk about the Dodgers series. My goodness, my goodness. They just really put it on them Dodgers. So the bench, very impressive. Now, losers. I'm gonna throw this out there, folks. Well, I should put Paul DeYoung in the winners. He's been very consistent, very consistent. And he leads in a lot of the statistics on the team. Okay, let me just call some out to you. Runs, on base percentage, slugging percentage, and because of that, on base plus slugging percentage, hits, doubles, average. He's got a 346 average. Paul DeYoung sneaking by, anchoring this entire lineup. It's amazing that the lineup that they have is just off the charts so far, anyway. But the losers I want to talk about is Dexter Fowler. I just don't know, man. He's batting 176. I'm to the point where I'm thinking, another week or two without some progress, I'm probably going to start putting in Jose Martinez. I'm probably going to start trying out, some other players out there. I mean, definitely think about Tyler O'Neill. The guy was mashing the cover off the ball in the middle of the spring training games. And you've got the bench to not really have to worry about who you can replace him with. So I've just been unimpressed with Dexter. I don't know what to think about the guy. Something's got to change. It just has to change. Marcell Ozuna he's been good of late, but I just want to see Marcell be consistent for once. Like, come out and be consistent. That's what we need. And then this is the big loser for me. And the starting pitching, for the most part, has been good. For the most part, they've done their part. They're trying. They can do better, I'll say that. But I'm not going to pick on them as much as I am the bullpen. This bullpen has been junk. Has been junk. This is the one negative for this team right now. Something's got to change with this bullpen. Like, I don't understand. Andrew Miller has been shockingly terrible. And so, with the money he's being paid, we pray that something changes there. I don't know. And then you got Alex Reyes, who's just getting trampled, and they sent him back down to the minors, I guess, to try to figure out what's going on. I don't know, but that was kind of something that we were hoping to work out. It seems like every year we know Alex Reyes is coming back. We don't know what's going to happen. He gets back, and it's total destruction on the mound. Like, he's being destroyed. Whether it's physically or he's pitching and then he falls apart, something's got to change. I hope the coaches down there get with him and work it all out. We'd love to see him do well in this rough career he's had so far. So this bullpen, hey, something. I mean, there's a few people that are getting it. Few people. Jordan Hicks finally has a hold on it, thank God. And he's going to be anchoring this team. John Brebbia is a monster. He's played 6 games, 8 innings, 10 strikeouts, has not allowed a single run. That guy is underrated. He was drafted in like by the Yankees in the 30th round, and he's just coming out there firing, just amazing. And then John Gant pitched 10 innings, and has a 0.84 ERA and a save. So there's a couple bright spots, but they've got to use just those players because anybody else they put in, what in the world are we going to do? You know, as something has to change. Our bullpen has to get on the right side of all this. Andrew Miller's pitched 5 innings and it's been disastrous, just disastrous. He lets up as many runs as he pitches innings, and so he's supposed to be the guy that is the veteran that can lead this bullpen staff. So I don't know. The bullpen, they're going to have to figure that out. That's their one really obvious weak spot in all this. It's going to have to change because baseball is using more relievers than they ever have. You know, starting pitchers pitch less and the bullpen's in more. So we're going to have to do something. Going to have to do something. I don't know if that means sign Craig Kimbrell. I know there's surely teams looking at it. The Brewers reported being the last ones looking at him. But something needs to change for sure. Around baseball, the team that is impressing everybody is the Seattle Mariners. I mean, what in the world? 13-3. That's shocking. And I mean, this is just the beginning, so don't take it for, you know, the way it's actually going to be at the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, we know Houston's going to win that division. Okay. Houston, in my opinion, is the best team in baseball. Yeah, the record may not show it right now, but hang on a little bit. Buckle yourself in. They'll get there. Tampa Bay is 11-4. And everyone else in that division does not even have a winning record. Plus 34 run differential for Tampa Bay. Mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Now, San Diego is 10-5 with the acquisition of Manny Machado at the, you know, beginning of this season. Wow, that's, you know, maybe it's a shot in the arm. I don't know. I don't think their pitching is going to be able to handle it. That's the thing. You see some of these teams, it's like a flash in the pot kind of, you know, they're winning some games. But if you look at their pitching staff and what they have, you think, man, in this game today, you've got to have pitching. And I don't think they're going to cut it. And just an update on some players to watch. We've got Vlad Guerrero Jr. that should be coming up into the majors very soon, according to comments from the Blue Jays front office. We could see him very quickly. And when that does happen, I can assure you that all of baseball is going to be consumed by the young Vlad Guerrero. Players around baseball that have really impressed. Cody Bellinger at one point was the hottest hitter in baseball. He was crushing the ball just like crazy. And he's really, really just anchoring that lineup in LA. You've got Domingo Santana, who is pushing this Seattle team to as many wins as they have. Chris Davis is crushing the ball. He's got home runs left and right. And Mike Trout, who is questionable whether he's going to be able to play right now, he's hurt. Obviously, it's been talked about already. He may be having the biggest season of his career. Hopefully, he continues and gets to do that. He's leading in on base plus slugging and on base. Just a legend in action that we're watching. A legend. Other people to watch, Blake Snell is leading the majors in strikeouts by a good margin, a very good margin. He's out there doing very well. Here's somebody we haven't talked about in quite a while. How about Marco Gonzalez? Starting pitcher for the Seattle Mariners, came from the Cardinals in a trade. He's pitched in 4 games. He has 4 wins, a 3.16 ERA, 16 strikeouts. And it looks like perhaps the at one time big time prospect is finally blossoming into something that the Cardinals wanted him to be. It just took some time, a late bloomer. So that's some things going on around baseball. obviously we're at the start of the season, and so there's a lot of action left that could tip the tables in either direction, and there's going to be teams that are not doing well that people are worried about. They're going to be leading the whole thing later on. So you never know what could happen in this game of baseball that we're watching. So real quickly, we're going to have a quick word from sponsor, and we're going to get right into the NL Central analysis. So talking about the NL Central and what has happened thus far, the Cubs are in a bad position because they are not where they can use much cash. They've spent so much on the starting pitching that they have, and even Theo Epstein has said that bad decisions have been made. He's taken some responsibility for it. And they've signed people like Quintanilla, Yu Darvish, that maybe aren't quite as proven, and they're, not producing for the ridiculous amount of money that they're getting paid. You've got John Lester, who's aging and not going to produce like he used to. And the starting pitching is just a mess. And because of that, they are 5-9 and fourth in the division, right there with Cincinnati at the bottom. And that leaves the Cardinals and the Brewers at the top and Pittsburgh closely behind them. And my prediction for a long time has been that Milwaukee would not have the starting pitching to make it. But it appears that it's going to be that way with the Cubs unless something changes. And so it is the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Pirates that are in the thick of it right now. And I don't think the Pirates will last. They just don't have the type of talent that Milwaukee and St. Louis has. And so you've got Milwaukee that's 9-5, St. Louis that's 8-5, and they're right there together. And it's going to be interesting watching series where they play each other. I'll just be honest with you. I don't think Cincinnati's going to have a single chance. I think Pittsburgh will be just above them. I think Chicago will have a bit of a comeback here, but I don't think that it's going to change much from Milwaukee and St. Louis just from the first 2 weeks watching how teams have played. The Cardinals have a plus 15 run differential, which is the highest in the Central, and that's pretty great. And so the fact is, it's going to be the Cardinals or the Brewers, and even then, both those teams are so good that they're probably going to get, whichever one doesn't win the division is probably going to get a wild card spot. And so that's what we've got: Cardinals and Brewers in the NL Central. I'm going to talk about the defensive rating for the Cardinals. They have change this year. Did you know that in the entire series with the Dodgers that we just watched, where they sweeped them, just killed them, there was only one error by the Cardinals? Four games, one error. And an error, you give the opposing team an opportunity. You give them a get out of jail free card. Cardinals only did that once in that whole series. And that's, we talk about run differential, but that is how you win ball games. It's not just about having a great offense, not about having a bunch of home run hitters, not just about having aces up and down your pitching staff. You have to have good defense because you just give hits to the other team and give runs to the other team if you don't. And they have such a great offense. Paul Goldschmidt has most definitely been an upgrade in the infield. And then you've got Colton Wong, who is an elite defender. And then you've got Paul DeYoung, who is pretty good at shortstop. Matt Carpenter is the one on the low end. And then you've got Yadi behind the plate, who we all know is incredible. That's a really good infield defense right there. In your outfield, obviously you've got Harrison Bader in center, and he helps out a ton. And the other players who play in the outfield, unless you've got O'Neill in there, we don't really have any other really good outfield defenders. Dexter's pretty good. Marcell is not. And what in the world on that play with Marcell Ozuna? I do not understand, like, what was going through his mind. If you haven't seen it, just look up in the videos on the Cardinals games recently. The Marcelo's in a play that was talked about in baseball. Nobody could understand what he was doing. And this ball was hit high into left field, and he's backing up. He climbs the wall, and he's thinking he's about to grab a home run. And then the thing comes down like 15 feet in front of the guy, 20 feet in front of him, hits the ground, and he falls off the wall on flat out, falls onto the ground from the wall, and he's rolling around, and the ball is dropped there, and you know they're just running around the bases, and everybody's like, really, 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 like, I don't know if you were like thinking about what was going to happen in the last season of Game of Thrones coming up out there, or what you were doing in left field, bud, but yeah, it's possible he got blinded in the stadium lights, I suppose, but goodness, I don't understand how you're so confident that the ball is this direction, climbing up the fence, and then it falls 20 feet the other direction. Unexplainable. And so Marcelo Ozuna may never be the defensive player we would hope he could be, but the defensive rating I'm going to give the Cardinals for right now, 1 through 10, is an 8 because, you know, you never know if what they've done and implemented in spring training is going to wear off as the season goes on. But right now I'm impressed, and I think they definitely have an improvement over what they had last year and the year before. We're looking at a better defensive and offensive team than we've seen in the last few years, and we're so thankful for that, just so thankful. So let's bring it all in for a landing here. I want to give you what I'm going to call the verdict on this Cardinals team. They have the potential, more than any Cardinals team in the last 5 years, to win a World Series. That's the team we're looking at. I'm talking about what I've seen through spring training up until the last game that they've played. This is a team that can win the World Series. Now, of course, there's other teams that can do it as well. But the Cardinals did not have a team over the last few years that could win a World Series. This year, they do. I'm going to go ahead and predict that they are going to make the playoffs unless something crazy happens. You never know if people are going to get injured. I'm going to predict they're going to make it. And, you know, be it by the wild card or division champion, they're going to make it. And the biggest proof of it to me was the fact that this is the key for me right here that kind of sold me on my opinion of them right now. This last series that they played, the Dodgers were the hottest team in baseball. And that's not just me saying that. Buster Olney said pretty clearly to everybody, This team, I've watched them. They are the hottest team out there right now. Cody Bellinger out there crushing the ball, you know, up and down the lineup, great hitting. And this is the team. You know, that's been the opinion. And they had such a great record. They come off of all that winning. They are so hot. And they come to St. Louis for a four-game series with the Cardinals. And they get cooled off like ice. Like nothing, and the Cardinals sweep them. And all of a sudden, you see that the Cardinals, if they're doing like they can, they can have a team, they can play a team that's the hottest team in baseball and sweep them in four games. It was extremely impressive, and everything was firing on all cylinders. The first three games, they played all their regulars for the most part, I believe, and just crush. The fourth game, they ran into a little bit of trouble, but it's justifiable in the fact that they rested, I think, four starters, and you put all these other players in. And you're thinking, well, you know, it's kind of opened up an opportunity for a loss. They already won the series, so whatever happens, happens. And the entire game, that fourth game of that series, Cardinals would get a few runs, and it's like, well, hey, you know, doing pretty well. And this is what I'm talking about with that bench. What a bench. Come in and every one of them guys, O'Neill, Martinez, they were hitting. And they were the key to all of it. And they would get a few runs. Next inning, Dodgers would get a few runs and they're leading. Cardinals make a little bit of progress. Dodgers come back and they're leading. That was the whole fourth game. But every time the Dodgers came back, the Cardinals answered it with more runs. What an offense. And they were just, and this is the bench that's in there. It revealed a lot about this team. So, this is where they're at. They could be. I'm not saying that they are, and I'm partial. Everybody knows that. They had the potential to be the best team in baseball. However, there is cause for concern. The plus on this team that is absolutely impressive is the offense. I mean, just amazing. Lineup and bench. It's amazing. As good and as much talent as is in this roster with the offense, you could have two or three players that are some of the best players on the team that are just cold as they can be, and it's almost like it doesn't matter because there's so much other talent in the lineup or on the bench that somebody is going to do something. They have the offense going on. The concern, and this is just for me, it's the one area of this Cardinals team that needs to be have all the attention on it right now is the bullpen. It cannot just be Jordan Hicks, Brebbia, and Gant. It's going to have to be more than that. It's got to be. Miller is going to have to step up. You've got to figure out what in the world is going on with him. It's got to happen. You know, there's just no two ways about it. Alex Reyes, hopefully he can come back and really contribute. But that bullpen is going to have to change. And I know that they are surely already looking at it. They've already made moves, so they're concerned with it. But this team, this Cardinals team is the best we've seen in over 3 years thus far. Now we're only 2 weeks into the season. We'll see what takes place. A lot can happen in 162 games. Everybody knows that. Injuries. But there is so much depth and so much lineup. There is so much lineup that a starting pitcher on an opposing team has to go through. If they can just get their pitching up a little bit more, it could definitely be the best team in the National League. So we'll see some moves back and forth from the minors. We might even see some interest in a free agent or two. I don't know. But we do know this, and I've mentioned it before. This front office is all in on 2019. And I think they really mean it. And what I do know is the team is performing like it too. We'll see what becomes of it and what happens next. And even right now, the game's about to start in Mexico. And we hope that they can really put it on the Reds. They need this series. Two games that you can pick up from pretty much the worst team in the National League Central, you need to take it. And we'll see what happens. I'll be right back here on the Four Seam Report to tell you all about it. Don't forget about us. Turn your notifications on for when we post another episode. And I look forward to telling you all about what I think about this team and the rest of baseball on the next episode.